Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I got free parking today. That was really cool. I went to put my money in the meter, and it said, no, it's a holiday. And I'm like, what's the holiday? And then I remembered, today is Emancipation Day. It's a holiday celebrated in the District of Columbia. District of Columbia was the first jurisdiction, actually, to free slaves. They freed them in, they stopped the slave trade before the Civil War, but they actually freed the slaves that were slaves in District of Columbia in 1862 before the Emancipation Proclamation, around April, mid-April, I guess it was. So D.C. celebrates that holiday today, and because of that, most of us don't have to get our taxes done until tomorrow. We get one more day to do our taxes. Emancipation, by the way, is something that's celebrated all throughout the country. D.C. celebrates it the first, or at least in April, because it was the first in April 1862. Most celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation, the famous proclamation signed by Abraham Lincoln that went into effect on January 1st, 1863. And then the last slaves to be freed were somewhere in Texas sometime in June of 1865, 2 months after the Civil War ended. The news finally filtered out to the slaves the furthest away from Appomattox Courthouse, those in Texas, sometime in the teens of June. I don't know that they ever really know the exact day, which is why they celebrate Juneteenth. So again, happy Emancipation Day. Let us all be glad that that sorry chapter in our country of slavery ended, even though we still obviously have many more things to deal with in terms of racial matters in the United States. Today I want to talk about Jim Comey, because he's frustrating me, and he might be frustrating you too. Maybe we look too often for good and bad, for black and white, for heroes and terrible human beings. And Jim Comey just can't be fit into any neat box. I was going to watch the Stephanopoulos interview that occurred last night, and then I decided to prepare for this show, well, I'll just read the transcript of the hearing, and that way I'll read everything and not just the highlights. And so I started reading it, and an hour later, I realized I got to get to the studio. It's long. The full transcript on ABC, I have to admit, I have not gotten through it. I thought, usually I read a transcript of an interview and, you know, I can read it in 20 minutes, certainly. This is over an hour, and I have a lot more to read. So this will not be the only time I talk about Jim Comey. But, yeah, he frustrates me. He frustrates me. And, of course, the thing that frustrates me the most is not his dealings with Donald Trump. It's his dealings with Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I talked about this before the election. I am 100% convinced that had it not been for Jim Comey, Hillary Clinton would be president today. So I'm upset by it. And I'm upset by the fact that he failed to undergo some really basic judgments in sort of pretending that an innocent person was guilty, or at least suggesting it. And we'll get into it, because there's a lot to discuss here. But at heart, I want to talk about, first of all, who this man is and why he is appealing and disturbing at the same time, which I think leads to my frustration. Long-time listeners of the Inside Scoop, and the Inside Scoop has now been on the air. Well, in June, we will be on the air 15 years, which is actually really amazing to me. But very long-time listeners of the Inside Scoop know that it started in the Bush era. And I did a show a year or two or three into the Inside Scoop where I was praising Jim Comey up and down and sideways. He was my hero. This was a guy who stopped the Bush administration from sneaking through an illegal memo to a very sick Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to authorize it and to Alberto Gonzalez was trying to John Ashcroft, who was just hadn't undergone some kind of serious surgery, I forgot, pancreas or something, and was recuperating. And Alberto Gonzalez, who was the president's counsel at the time, and another guy whose name I forgot, tried to get this memo that allowed them to do torture. Vice President Cheney was really insisting on it, saying other people would die if they didn't get it. And the memo wasn't legal, because torture isn't legal. And Comey told him it wasn't legal. Bob Mueller, then the head of the FBI, was saying it wasn't legal. It's interesting. Comey was actually Bob Mueller's boss. He was the deputy attorney general. Comey had the same position back in the Bush administration that Rod Rosenstein does today. It's just kind of funny the way these things work, right? And everyone agreed this was illegal, but the president, George Bush, thought if they could sneak it on to a really sick attorney general, John Ashcroft, who was under all kinds of drugs from his surgery, maybe he'd sign off on it, and maybe that they could then torture people the way they wanted to. And Comey relives this in his interview and tells the story that I, again, praise him to the hilt. You could find deep in my files, deep in my archives, if I get my website working, the show where I'm praising this guy, Jim Comey, who I never heard of before. And he's like, Dudley Do-Right on his horse, right? He runs to the hospital room, gets there before the president's men can get there, warns the very, very sick attorney general who's, barely there with all the drugs, and the attorney general stops it. So I was a big fan of Jim Comey for many, many years. I think it's important in judging this man and his character to, as hard as it is, and it's hard, to separate Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, George Bush. It's very easy to say, well, Bush was wrong and Hillary Clinton was right and Donald Trump was wrong and, I'm a Democrat and then everyone will dismiss what I have to say. And that's not fair. Every case has to be judged on its merits. Jim Comey is an interesting psychological profile. Here's a guy who's determined to do right. And I must say, I am persuaded that he thinks he's doing the right thing. I think he's had extraordinary, terrible judgments. But I think he's a good G-man. Right, a good FBI agent in the sense that he is very observant. I believe when he writes things down that he accurately observes things and states them. I don't think he's dishonest in the sense of ever giving inaccurate witness. This is not a guy who would give false witness testimony about anything that he saw. But I do think he's deluding himself. I think he's lying to himself. I think he's had terrible judgments. He says in the interview that he wants to tell Hillary Clinton that she may think he's an idiot, but at least he's an honest idiot. In other words, she thinks he did really bad things, but he's not a dishonest person. That's not quite how I would describe this flawed man. I would say he's an honest witness, but he has terrible lapses of judgment. So he's not criminal. There's no plot. He's not trying to rig anything. And I do believe what he says about the people he talked to and what they said. I think he's a good observer. But I also think Jim Comey cares a little too much what people think about him. And there's a certain irony there, right? Here's a guy who Well, put it this way. Why do you do the right thing? Why do you act the way you do in your life? I mean, you can do something because it's your job. You're paid to do it. You can do something because your spouse asked you to do it and you love your spouse. You can do something because it gives you pleasure, right? Do things you enjoy. Or you can do something because you think it's the right thing to do. Jim Comey acts because he thinks things are the right thing to do. But what is the right thing to do? Is it what you know in your heart is the right thing to do? Or is it because you want people to always perceive you've done the right thing to do? As I read through the detail, and you got to read the full transcript because, frankly, the one-hour interview doesn't begin to scratch the surface of this. That interview must have gone on 5 hours. It's a really, really long transcript. Like I said, I haven't finished reading it yet. And George Stephanopoulos asked some good, tough questions. As I read through the interview, I couldn't help but think, Comey cares too much what people think of him. And I want you to think about how ironic that is. This is the guy who says, I'm not going to help the Republicans. I'm not going to help the Democrats. I am a Republican. But I really, really, really want to be seen as someone who can't be swayed by other people. I want to be seen as the guy who does the right thing. And the irony is so severe. In wanting to be seen as the guy who always does the right thing, with that as his foremost goal, he stops doing the right thing. Hope you're following me here because it's a little confusing. If you do the right thing because you believe it to be the right thing, that's a good thing. But if you do the right thing because you want people to think you're doing the right thing, it can often lead you down the wrong path. Or maybe not often, but certainly in the case of Jim Comey, that's exactly what happened. So obviously I'm talking about the Clinton email stuff, and maybe I'm beating a dead horse, but I think it's important for us to understand what happened, why it happened, and who is this guy who, well, single-handedly changed the course of American history, not because he was some closet Trumpist, but because he wanted to be perceived as doing the right thing. And what's interesting, as you read through the depths of the interview, and again, I don't think it comes out when you watch it on TV. I think you have to read the transcript. Deep, deep in the bowels of this interview is the evidence that Russia and Fox News had even a more pernicious influence on this election than we already think they do. Russia and Fox News persuaded Jim Comey that in order to do the right thing, he had to do the wrong thing, so that he would be perceived as doing the right thing. And if that's all pretty confusing to you, I'm going to sort it out when we get back from break. Call if you want, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about, well, former FBI Director Jim Comey. He's all over the news, so we might as well talk about him. Yeah, I know, we're doing pinprick bombing of Syria. By the way, I don't think that's going to do anything. I think Assad is happy that it's all just, Donald Trump basically warned him, told everyone to get away, did very little damage, and they'll just go back. And he achieved what he wanted. He gassed a lot of people, murdered a bunch of people, and ended a last rebel stronghold, so now he can brutally mistreat more of his people. So that's another issue for another day. We, of course, got Michael Cohen. That's an interesting thing. I'm 100% sure, I better say 99% sure, that the judge would reject Donald Trump's claim that the prosecutors can't look at the files from his attorney, Michael Cohen. There's always been a crime fraud exception to the attorney-client privilege. That's nothing new. What they do is they actually have a separate team of lawyers analyze it and only put forward the stuff that shows a crime. They're going by the book. So that's all very interesting. But here I am wrapped up in the psychology of Jim Comey, because here's this guy. He's like the prototypical G-man, right? The FBI guy. He's Dudley Do-Right. He's really trying to do the right thing. And I actually think he's trying to do the right thing. It's interesting, as you go through the interview, particularly when you read the full transcript of the interview, he talks about his ego as being his biggest concern. And I think he's right to be concerned about his ego. It's one thing to make a tough decision and to try to do the right thing and to allow for doubts and all. But if you go through the process of what happened with Hillary Clinton and the emails, he made such a mountain out of a molehill that now we're making molehills out of mountains. What happened? Hillary Clinton had a server in her basement. It wasn't even hers. It was her husband's. Frankly, as someone who does political work based on a server, a private server, which Colin Powell had and Jeb Bush had, and, you know, it's just easy. It's there. Everyone has email. And he makes clear that he knew from the beginning that it was no there there. It's worth checking out. You know, does Hillary Clinton lie? No, she doesn't. She tells the truth. Is there some nefarious thing going on? No, no. Should she have done it? Probably not. But people make mistakes. And that's just sort of what happened. And it wasn't that big a deal. And yet it was raised. I mean, ask somebody, what was the harm of Hillary Clinton's emails? What exactly was it? The irony is the Russians had hacked everything except Hillary Clinton's emails. That's the one thing they couldn't get into. Maybe because it was on a private server. So the ironies compound upon the ironies. But if you read the details of the interview, and again, I only got through the first part. I haven't even gotten to his discussions with Donald Trump yet. I was just focused on the Hillary part. And George Stephanopoulos, to his credit, deals with it at length. Now, again, it must have been a five-hour interview, because there's pages and pages and pages answering the questions that I've wanted to know for a year now. So good for George Stephanopoulos for recognizing. I mean, he even talks about Jim Comey's early work with George Bush and John Ashcroft. He goes through this man's life story. I feel like I don't have to get the book because this interview was so good. But there's a real bombshell that I think has gotten no... I haven't seen any attention in the press about the reason why Comey felt he had to violate normal Justice Department norms and tell the public, criticize Hillary Clinton in public, even though there was going to be no criminal case against her. And believe it or not, it actually all goes back to the Russians. Again, I'll explain after the break. 888-48-MARK, if you want to join us, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
Who says nerds can't have fun? It's Mark Levine.
The psychology of Jim Comey, I find it fascinating. I really do. It's easy to put him in a box and say he's a terrible person or a wonderful person. Or I guess what hurts is I do think he's trying. I just think he's failing. And again, I haven't even gotten to what most people are talking about, which is his relationship with Donald Trump. I'm still reading the very detailed interview with what happened with the emails with Hillary Clinton. And Stephanopoulos, George Stephanopoulos, asked him some good, tough questions. He points out that Justice Department policy is not to comment on an ongoing investigation. That's not what prosecutors do. You ever had a case, ever a crime committed against you? You tell the police. You tell the prosecutors. They work on it. They don't publicly say what they're doing. They may not even tell you enough about what they're doing. Sometimes I think they don't talk to victims enough. But that's because they're trying to run down witnesses and get all the materials there, and you get all kinds of leads, and some aren't true, and you got to run them down and find out what's true and what's not. And at the end of the day, you're either going to prosecute or you're not. If you're going to prosecute, then the important things are written in your bill of indictments, right? Your bill of indictment, what you put before the grand jury. You are being charged with this crime for this reason because on such and such date you did this. That's what they read out publicly. And then even then, they don't talk anymore until trial, right? You go to the trial and you make your case. The case should be made in court. And if you're not going to prosecute, it's even more vital not to discuss the evidence. In America, you're innocent until proven guilty. And when you discuss the evidence of someone who has not committed a crime or who you are not going to prosecute for a crime, you are defaming them. You are harming them. And nowhere could that be more the case than when you have a candidate for president of the United States. And Jim Comey gets all this. He knows all this. He's not a dumb man. I would hardly call him an idiot. I think he has terrible judgment. But he's not stupid. In fact, Comey, and this is why he frustrates me, because he has some of my same instincts. Comey wants in the email investigation to be transparent so that the American people trust him. Now, I'm a big fan of transparency. Many of you know I'm the co-founder of Virginia's Transparency Caucus. But knowing what your legislator is doing is a good thing, I think an emphatic good thing. Although even we, if we're making deals and working out, sometimes we have to talk outside the glare of the press. I think all our votes and our debates should be public. But, yeah, if I'm crafting a deal, I'll give you this if you give me this, that shouldn't necessarily be public. But how much more so should a prosecutor be able to figure out what's true and what's false in private? Frankly, I don't think Hillary should have been criminally investigated at all. I don't think what she did rises to that level. But okay, investigate. Be sure she hasn't done anything terribly wrong. Make sure that she wasn't intentionally trying to pass off classified information to the Russians the way, well, the president, Donald Trump, would later do. So check it out. But he talks about what he did in July. And in July, he decides to use a rarely used exception to Justice Department policy and actually talk about the specifics of an ongoing case, which he should never have done. And the reason he says he did it is just fascinating. And I'm really getting in the weeds here, but no one's talked about this. He says the reason he did it is because there was a perception that Attorney General Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General under President Obama, was somehow leaning forward to favor Hillary Clinton. She's a Democrat. Hillary Clinton's a Democratic nominee. Maybe they were giving Hillary Clinton favors. To which Stephanopoulos pushes back and says, well, you could always make such an argument anytime there's a Democratic administration and Democratic presidential candidate. You don't have to, I mean, everyone might suspect such a thing. Then he goes on to say, we had classified information. He can't talk about it at length, but we had classified information that he, Jim Comey, did not believe to be true, saying that Loretta Lynch was helping Hillary Clinton. And through the questions, Stephanopoulos makes clear and Comey makes clear, the information was from the Russians. So the Russians put forward false information stating that Loretta Lynch was helping Hillary Clinton. Comey did not believe the information. He can't talk about it much because it's still classified, but he was afraid the classified information would come out and people would know that some foreign power, Russia, but they may not say Russia, believed that Loretta Lynch was helping Hillary Clinton. So the same Russians that snookered the American people and got Trump to collude with them to try to win the election, they ended up rolling Jim Comey too. Not because they fooled him. Jim Comey knew the information was false. But because Comey was afraid that people would hear the information and that Comey would look bad for just saying we're not prosecuting, he was so afraid of his own personal reputation that he ended up doing the wrong thing. And that's what's so ironic about all of this. A foreign agent out to sabotage the American elections, our greatest enemy on the planet, Russia, Vladimir Putin, didn't trick Jim Comey. But Comey was so afraid that other people would be tricked that they pushed him into doing the wrong thing. Same is true with Fox News. He wasn't fooled by Fox News. He didn't believe Fox News when they claimed Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton were doing all these terrible things to help Hillary. He knew it was false. He investigated it. He found out it was false. So Stephanopoulos, good for, just says, why don't you just tell the American people you investigated it was false? He said, well, they wouldn't believe me. So I had to give all this detail of my investigation. He makes clear he had to attack Hillary Clinton for being careless, because only then would people believe him when he said there's no crime to prosecute. But the goal of Jim Comey should never have been Jim Comey's reputation. He talks about doing the right thing regardless of reputation. He wants so badly for the American people to believe in the FBI, to believe in Jim Comey, to believe that the right processes are held, that he actually does the wrong process in order to make people think he's doing the right process, and in doing so, tarnishes the very FBI that he was trying to protect. The ironies compound here, and it gets a little confusing. But that's, I guess, why it's so fascinating and so frustrating both at the same time. Got a bunch of callers on the line. Let's go to Paul, line 3 in Woodinville, Washington. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Mark. Yeah, well, you know, when you're dealing, this is mostly the dissemination of propaganda that's gotten twisted and twisted, and almost it doesn't matter what you say. The right wing would have pushed back, oh, you're not prosecuting, and this is what they're doing now. No matter what side of the coin lands up, you know, whether it's heads or tails, they'll tell you why it should have been the other way. And this is what they're doing. But you look at I look at a bigger picture. When it's the right wing that's under investigation, it's the law enforcement that's illegitimate. How do you think minority people in this country would feel whenever they're under investigation? Yeah. You don't need any facts. Oh, it's just the way it is. And it's propaganda to say, yeah, for instance, you take the Michael Brown case. They have pretty much convinced the country that, oh, that case, all the facts have been heard in that case. There was never a finding of fact. We had a grand jury investigation that was tainted by the stupid prosecutor who brings in exculpatory evidence and witnesses when he's trying to indict somebody.
Which is not what a prosecutor, it's not their job.
Exactly,
that's the job of the defense attorney.
Jury.
So, Paul, what's fascinating to me is Comey was so focused, and this is what you see in the interview, he's so focused on what's the public going to think. I'm so worried that they're going to be fooled by Fox News, fooled by Russian propaganda, that he's going to step over backwards and actually magnify what Hillary did, which, again, is not his role. He's not a politician. His role is to prosecute or not prosecute. Frankly, even that's not his role. That's the role of the Justice Department.
Right.
All the FBI is supposed to do is investigate, put the facts in a nice little bow, present it to the Justice Department or special prosecutor, whomever, and let them decide. But he's so caught up and so worried about reputation that he ends up doing exactly the wrong thing. And I guess the way to think about it is, and it kind of based on what you said, you know, liars are going to lie, haters are going to hate, and people are going to be political no matter what you do. So instead of trying to please people who can never be pleased, he should have shut it all out and said, well, these are the guidelines. I'm going to do the right thing by the guidelines. And if people don't like Jim Comey because of it, that's okay. I'm not a politician. Just the facts.
That's right.
And
that's what he should have done.
The irony is, he acted politically in trying to avoid acting politically.
Yeah. If you say to the right wing, oh, now you're all about law enforcement. The focus is on you. And then they say this is what they say. Oh, we're all about for the officers. It's the corruption at the top, the leadership. It's just like they say about unions. Oh, yeah, we're for the workers. It's just the corrupt union leadership. You see,
and now their own leadership is corrupt. And so they're blaming. I mean, here's the irony of this whole thing. Jim Comey's a Republican. Bob
right.
Mueller's a Republican. Rod Rosenstein's a Republican.
Yeah.
The guy that went in, the U.S. attorney in New York who ordered the taking of the Michael Cohen documents was just appointed by Donald Trump a few months ago after he fired Preet Bharara. These are all Trump's men. And to the extent that they're going after Trump, it has to be because they think he's guilty. there's no rhyme or reason why you can understand how someone appointed might try to please their boss. But when someone appointed by a boss goes against their boss,
well, that's called the principle of dissimilarity. Exactly right. If it's something that you wouldn't expect, and that's what the right wing uses all the time. That's what they're using with Alan Dershowitz. First of all, the principle of dissimilarity. They call him a liberal. First, they label him a liberal and say, look at what he's saying about.
I don't think Dershowitz is a liberal. I remember Dershowitz talking about Bush and torture, and I mean, I think he's got his view. I often disagree with his view. He's a smart guy. I'll grant that. He gives reasons. I'll grant that. I am happy to debate him on his reasons. I don't think he's an ideologue. I think he calls it as he sees it. I'll say that. But I don't think of Dershowitz as a liberal.
No,
that's
the labeling politics that they use. And in order to use the principle of dissimilarity, first you got to start with labels. And
yep.
So that's how they do it, is they get somebody and call them a liberal and then say things that are advantageous to our point of view.
It's just the irony to me that this smart man, and Jim Comey's a smart man, and this dutiful man, who I really think is trying to do the right thing, at the end of the day, rather than do the right thing, he wants to be seen as doing the right thing. And when you want to be seen as doing the right thing, sometimes you end up doing the wrong thing. And
exactly.
I think he actually, he can't say it because it's not in his nature. I think he regrets what he did. I think in him saying that, you know, if I'd known that, you know, he doesn't, you know, I just assumed Hillary Clinton was going to be president, as we all did. And he just wanted to be like, okay, she's going to be president. I'm going to lay all my cards on the table. And then no one can blame me, Jim Comey, for not telling you everything when she becomes President Hillary Clinton.
But obviously,
the right thing to do was to investigate, see if there was a there. If there was, spill it. And if there wasn't, keep quiet, because we had enough. All of this shows to me is the huge power of the big lie. And Joseph Goebbels pointed it out, big Nazi theorist, that when you tell a little lie, people correct you, right? No, it wasn't that date. It was that date. It wasn't this location. It's that location. Little lies are easily corrected. Big lies, massive lies. You get it all in the political, and no one even knows what's true anymore.
Right.
I mean, lock her up? Are you kidding me? People chanted
right.
that.
Well,
it's amazing. Chanted
that.
I have emails that I have, you know, that are not in my delegate account. Lock me up. I mean, everyone does. It's, and she's not exactly, you know, a millennial. So, you know, I'm just glad that someone her age knows how to use email. That's not fair. That's a little weird. But no, I mean, you know, come on. To think there's anything nefarious there, you'd have to. And the irony is, Comey knew there was nothing nefarious there. He knew. And now they're mad at him for, like, writing his preliminary report saying there's nothing nefarious there because they didn't find anything. It's just frustrating. Anyway, thanks for calling in. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to move on, talk a little bit more about Jim Comey. We do have another call on the line. You're welcome to join in the discussion. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And no, Susan Davis, I don't heal where he can sue him. We'll be right back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. You can go out and buy Jim Comey's book if you want to, or you can just read the really, really, really long interview if you Google transcript ABC Comey, C-O-M-E-Y. There's just a lot of interesting nuggets in there. And to his credit, I think he's clear about what he thought and why he thought what he did. And it's just kind of interesting to see where he went off the rails. I do give Comey credit in the sense that, I think a more dishonest person would simply show less doubt and less indecision and less likely to give reasons for what they did. So I would say that Comey is trying. I just think he made terrible, terrible lapses of judgment that the irony is, if you remember when Comey was fired, everyone was complaining about it. I was kind of happy because I thought, number one, I don't trust a guy that has this kind of misjudgment. I do trust he's an honest purveyor of events. I don't trust his judgment. And two, I knew that this might get a special prosecutor appointed that would ultimately harm the president. So while everyone was complaining, I'm like, no, this is clear obstruction of justice. You know, Trump's just showing his hand. Reggie has been holding on a long time. Line 4 from Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you, sir?
Happy Monday to you, too, Mark Levin.
And happy Monday. Good to have you back. I'm back, baby.
Yeah, I know you're back, and so am I. I would just like to say that I found a clip of Anthony Scaramucci on Fox and Friends saying that James Comey should have been loyal to the president, or should still be loyal to the president, keep his mouth shut, zip his lip, or shut his mouth, you know, or just shut up about this book and everything else that he wrote into it.
Why would Comey have any loyalty to the president? He's not one of the president's men. This is not his chief of staff or even, you know, Sarah Huckabee Liar, I mean, whose job it is to lie for him. I mean, this is not his press secretary. He's not his communications person. He's not his campaign manager. This was the director of the FBI. If there's anyone we would want to be independent, it's the director of the FBI.
Yeah, well, Anthony said he would have kept his mouth shut, which he has since the president fired him and Sarah.
Yeah, he didn't keep his mouth shut when he was in charge. That's kind of why I like Anthony Scaramucci. He couldn't help himself, you know. he's so flawed, and he wore it all over his mouth. And Scaramucci kind of reminds me of Baghdad Bob. You know the guy during the Iraq War who kept saying that Saddam Hussein's troops were winning. And
why would Sarah Huckabee Sanders call him a partisan hack? James Comey, that is.
See, as much as I am arguing that he is flawed, and I do believe he to be tremendously flawed, he's so anxious to prove how nonpartisan he is that he ended up doing the wrong thing. That's the irony of it. He's so nonpartisan. He's too nonpartisan in that he's more worried about his own reputation than he is about helping either side, and ultimately it failed him. He's Dudley Do Too Much Right.
Right.
But no, to call him a partisan hack is just BS. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It's not true.
Well,
thanks for calling, Reggie. We're about to end, and I just want to read. It's in the middle of the interview, and it's kind of hard to find. But when he talks about his reasons for disclosing the emails, he writes that he felt that this classified information that said that Loretta Lynch was controlling him, and he knew it wasn't true, but he was worried that the classified information would come out. And it was in the middle of June when the Russian government was dumping material. And he writes, "It dawned on me that someday when this material comes out, even though I didn't believe it, the material was out there. And whether it was true or not, it would allow people, partisans, to strongly argue that something was wrong with the investigation." Stephanopoulos says, "Did you investigate it?" He said, "We did." He said, "Stephanopoulos, what did you find?" Comey, "Found no indication that it was true." And Stephanopoulos says, "So you find no indication it's true, and yet you find it's one of the reasons." So yeah, he knew it wasn't true, and yet he was afraid others would believe it was true. And let that be a lesson to all of us. Don't act because you're afraid that other people will be misled. Just do the right thing. We'll be back more on this Thursday.